Earners, what's up? Look, in the world of personal finance management, finding the right tool is crucial. If you've been relying on Mint to keep your personal finances in check, I got a mix of news for you. Mint is closing down. But here's a silver lining. Monarch Money is stepping up as the go-to financial app, and users, including myself, are making the switch with a smile. Before Monarch, juggling my finances felt like navigating a stormy sea. Other apps either lacked features or were too cumbersome. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design turned financial management from a chore into a breeze. The constant updates, well, that's the cherry on top. But what truly set it apart for me was its collaboration feature. Money matters can strain relationships, but Monarch brings peace to the table. The app's collaboration tools allow my partner and I to seamlessly manage our finances together. We aligned on our budgets, tracked our cash flow, and even planned our future goals all in one place. Speaking of goals, be it saving for a down payment, your dream vacation, or your children's education, Monarch simplifies it all. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal hailed it as the best budgeting app. This isn't just an app. It's the next generation of personal finance management, ad-free, intuitive, and always evolving with you in mind. Now look, Monarch isn't just another app. It's the all-in-one solution, from effortlessly importing your data from Mint to customizing your dashboard to your heart's content. Monarch respects your privacy with a strict no ads, no data selling policy. This is financial management as it should be, focused on you. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Mondays. That's monarchmoney.com/Mondays for your extended 30-day free trial.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at
Menards. Everybody has heard me speak about, and all of us speak about, QQQ for a while, but TQQQ is something that I think we have spoke about it before, but it's something that's very interesting. If you look at his charts, because everybody always asks, you know, what's a good investment, things of that nature, and this is one of the hottest ETFs on the market right now, TQQQ. So Ian, you want to talk about TQQQ? Is TQQQ? I'm asking this question for the public. Is TQQQ the same as QQQ? What is the difference from TQQQ from QQQ?
The difference is it's triple levered. So I want to be very clear. This is not a one that you should have in your primary four, but after you have your base of four, this is what I call an all-star that you can add. So it's one of the ones that I gave in Stock Club last year. If you guys have done well with it, put yes in chat. But if you look at the numbers, 2013, it was up 140%, 2015, 17%, 2017, 118%, 2019, 134%, 2020, 110, 2021, 60%. Since inception, 16,730. So when you guys are like, hey, I want something that goes to the moon, there's usually products in the S&P 500 or the Qs that will go to the moon that are safe. I'm telling you. Do not buy them at the top. It's a horrible investment if you're buying them when the market is at all-time highs. But if we crash, or let's say China finally takes us over, or there's some big fallout from this Afghanistan thing, or there's another variant that actually shuts the country down, and we bottom out, TQQQ is a good one to add. I would probably only do maybe 15% max of my portfolio into it. But for those that have been in it in the stock club, like some people are up 200, 300%. In a long-term investment. So do your research on it. It is a little bit riskier. The drawdown is very heavy. So if you catch it at the top, it may drop down 55%. Don't want that. Wait for a bottom or wait for an entry that I'll call here on Market Mondays. But it is a sleeper that most people don't talk about. And if the market has an inclination to go up for long periods of time, especially over a 5 or 10 year period, I don't know why people would prefer to do certain asset classes when you have something like this where you can ride it for the long term and get the same kind of returns that you can get from actually trading. Even for those in the futures program, I'm like, do TECL and TQQQ first and then trade, because the longer you have your money in the market, the better you'll do. So that's a hidden gem I don't think enough people are talking about.
When you say triple leverage, for anybody that doesn't know what does that mean?
So it speeds up, it goes triple the speed of a normal, let's say QQQ, but the problem with that, if you get into it at a bad price, it will drop three times faster than a normal asset as well. So that's why I say I wouldn't do it in my top four, but maybe fifth, sixth, or seventh. Like if Tesla is not giving you the gains that you want, I told everybody in Stock Club, like TQQQ or TECL or something that you can add if you want an accelerator. So you want your four safe ones, and even Microsoft and Apple up like 21% for the year. Right. Then on the back end, you want the ones that can go, you know, to the moon, hypothetically for you. Add those fifth or sixth, and then those can bolster your gains in your portfolio.
Yeah, way. And when we talk about long term, if you look at the 5-year performance on it, I mean, 1,374%.
Stupid.
Like you're talking like ridiculous numbers. Even the 3-year performance is up 320%, and on the 1 year is 105%. And so these are things like these type of percentages are not normal. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've been jaded over the past 12 months with the type of returns we've been seeing. These are not average things that are happening. And so had you been listening to in Market Mondays early on, like the return is out of this world, and the holdings are ridiculous. Like if you look at the holdings, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Google, Facebook, I mean, what else would you want?
Yeah, it's QQQ on speed.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's on speed. So it's like listening to a podcast accelerated. You know, you have that option. You can listen to it quicker. So yeah, as you said, it's something that obviously QQQ has done well. So this is just going to do even better because it's accelerated. But on the downside, if it drops, it's going to drop harder. Another strategy is to actually layer it. Like if you have the regular QQQ, and then you can have this also as a portion, if you wanted to just risk, you know, have a little bit more risk involved, that's something that you can do as well. So, you know, you can kind of still play the fast lane while still staying in the, you know, the regular lane as well.
Yeah, we some things are for freshmen, some things are for live men. This is more for like a live man. Right, like you have a little bit of experience if you're going to be in that one.
Yeah,
I want to be on the record. Trading and investing has considerable risks.
Tell them, please.
Please only do this if you have your core four, 2 index, 2 tech. Then is your fifth play. Like TQQQ is like Westbrook.
Yeah,
like it's going to go. Yeah, it's going to go full speed every possession. Some games it works. Some days it doesn't. Before those of us that have had it for a period of time, like in 2020 in May, the price of it was 29 bucks. This is at 151 right now. So when people are like, well, the 2 index thing does not work, I'm like, it's not true. Like this last 2 years has proven that. But if you look over history, if you pair two slower performing stocks or ETFs with two faster ones, the gains are going to be great. And then the two slower ones like the S&P 500 or Dow, they'll be your hedges anyway. So when the market drops, you have exposure to everything else. So, and the second one I mentioned is TECO. It's too high right now. Don't touch it now. But if it drops, that's another one that you can add that is an accelerator. So I know everyone thinks that every index and ETF is like Tim Duncan slow. No, you have some ones that are outperforming a lot of crypto. And those, for those of you that like trading, if you want to make money easily and still get the high from trading, but have a long-term investment, TQQQ is a great one.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a gem for sure. Especially.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Long term, I mean, like, you know, it's all of the technology stocks. So, I mean, what's the odds of it really being negative long term? So that's kind of like a cheat code for long term accelerated growth. That's what people always say, like, well, I don't have time. For 20% or 40%, or 400%. So,
oh man,
maybe 1,000%.
Will that make you happy?
Maybe. That could do some things. That could do some damage. So yeah, that's a gem right there. Okay. So coming off of last week's episode, it was crazy because you and Trav talked about Zoom and very bearish on Zoom. And then they dropped, I think the day after.
Yeah.
They had a slight recovery the day after that drop, but Zoom. And, you know, we're talking about Microsoft Teams and how Microsoft Teams is probably a more efficient way to do these video conference calls. Ironically enough, we are on Zoom. So please, Zoom, do not cut us
off. Keep us here.
Please.
Keep us here.
I know. They're like, we'll fix you. Go to Teams then.
Yeah.
Don't cut us off.
Yes. Zoom.
We love you.
Yes. And so, but all right. So Zoom. Let's double down on this since, like I said, it was very fitting that it fell the day after that.
Yeah. I think the question was like, is this the time that Zoom is now going to pull back? And so we saw it drop 11%, and then the after hours was showing that it's going to pull back, and it dropped another 14.
But is that also an indicator of just the space in general? Kids are going back to school,
mm-hmm.
right? Even though COVID is still flaring up. At least in New York, like they're going back to school.
Mm-hmm.
People are starting to go back to work. So could this be a combination of just that space in general might just be coming down a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if the space is coming down. I feel like this is now going to be a part of the everyday work life. I feel like companies are going to have to readjust. And obviously having a communication system like Zoom or Teams or Google Meet will be a part of their everyday life. And even for students now, right? Like in New York, they told these kids there's no snow day, right? So like if there's no school, they're still going to school. It's just going to be virtually.
And oh,
so,
they implemented that?
Yeah.
When? This year?
Yeah, for some district. New York City, I know. And some school districts here in Westchester. So it's like they're still going to be in school. It's just going to be what platform are they going to be choosing. Whatever platform that is for kids is going to be like, all right.
But it's
that's
still
one, that might be one to be you
know. Doing it every single day.
That's true too.
Doing it.
And that's kind of why there was a pullback, right? Because the future guidance was like, how sustainable is this? The numbers have run up so far, and those factors that you're
saying. Talk about guidance.
Yeah, so future guidance is to say like, this is what they've made in this quarter. Here's what they're looking like for the next quarter, right? And so if the future guidance is showing that they're not going to be able to keep up with this pace of growth, then investors are saying, well, okay. Well, maybe
why should I keep investing
at this point?
So that's very important for people to understand. Let's have a little breakdown of this. So stocks, they have earning reports, mm-hmm. which you talk about every week at mm-hmm. 9 o'clock. The earnings reports are their earnings for the quarter.
For the quarter, yep.
For the quarter, right? Everybody knows about that, but not a lot of people know about the guidance. Now, companies don't have to issue guidance.
Apple doesn't. Apple hasn't for the last couple quarters.
It's optional.
Right.
But a lot of companies issue guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Which like a kind of projection of what's going on in the future, right?
Right.
How important do you look at guidance?
I look at it for some companies, right? So Apple hasn't released their guidance in a few quarters, but we know what Apple's coming, right? Where we can see the reports of the things and the innovation that's on its way. Some companies need to give that guidance because it gives the confidence, right? All right. Well, I know you guys have been investing, but here's what else we have coming. This is the profit margin that we're making. Here's our P&E ratios for the next quarter. So
Ian has been froze. Zoom.
Dead-ed-em.
That's what you cannot.
Oh, he's back.
I'm back.
Yo, I was like, that's the
Zoom
longest.
Was like, see, yo, you and Trap said it was going to drop, and let's drop you.
Yo, that was the longest sip ever. I was like, damn.
They froze him.
Zoom, I'm sorry.
No, we're getting off the topic.
I'm sorry.
So it depends on the company if I'm looking at the future guidance. Ian, how do you view it when you do? I mean, I know you're not big on earnings, but when a company offers its future guidance and doesn't, is there pros and cons to it from your standpoint?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the peak of Zoom was at 588. The peak of Tesla was at 900. Does anybody think that Zoom was close to half as valuable as Tesla? No, people are going back to work. Kids are going back to school. Like Xander's back in school physically. People are tired of Zoom meetings. I think they had a great year 18906. If it gets to that area, I'll be happy. Because and Bonnie talked about it. You guys should go listen to this episode. There is a range that a stock should stay between. Mm-hmm. Zoom is a $55 to $193 stock. When it got to $5.88, I'm like, I understand. Same with Clorox. I understand the utility at the time, but can you hold that over time? And I always get concerned if a company gets too hot too fast. It's like an artist, they have an incredible single, but the album takes 5 months to come out. I'm like, you wasn't prepared for this boom. So I love this, the CEO, I love the founder. I love the story, how I came up with the idea, but the growth was a little bit too rapid. Wait for 189 and some change. And I think it goes to the power of when Trap and I are like, you know, super excited about a company or a statement or a thesis, you guys can pretty much bet your dollar on it. But Zoom, please keep me connected. I love you dearly.
My graduates from my school being Forbes,
bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.